And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I hope you've enjoyed the last 2 weeks' programs with my good friend Edward Hendry, author of the outstanding new book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon the Great. Hey, I like his subtitle. See, what is it? Sandra's over here in the driver's seat today. She's acting as the engineer in the studio for our program. Some of you have talked to Sandra on the phone. She answers our order line quite often. Sandra Myers. That's right, Sandra Myers. Precious husband is named Rich, also a good friend of mine in Wanda's. And Sandra's been with us so long, she knows how to do everything around here, I think. In fact, I'm going to start having her write the books from now on and just take off and go on vacation. No, she's over there saying no. No, she's not going to let me do that. Okay. Hey, Sandra, I enjoy writing these books. It's great fun. I mean, nobody could take me away from it. It's that old saying about as much fun as a barrel full of monkeys. I'm telling you, it is. It really is great fun. It's fun exposing the devil and uplifting the truth. We're truth tellers around here. And I know my audience is, too. And Sandra is, too. By the way, I bet she really enjoyed Edward. What did you think of Edward Henry's book, Solving the Mystery of Babylon? Because, Mystery of Babylon, you used to be a Catholic. You came to know Jesus after coming to this ministry. Sandra had threatened me. She says, I'm not going to work here if you try to evangelize me. Isn't that true? In her interview with me, I thought she was perfect for, to do the job here. She had such a pleasant personality, and I could see she was a real professional. And she says, but I don't know if I believe y'all like y'all do. I was raised Catholic, but, she said she's really not going to church now. And I said, we won't push anything on you. We won't evangelize you. We won't do anything. I hope our example, though, did make a difference. We really want to be role model. But I think the main thing is the Holy Spirit drew Sandra. And she says, very much, okay. All right, that's it. That's what the Bible says. And then one day she came and said, hey, Tex, Wanda, could y'all recommend a good church, a good Bible-believing church to me? I said, what? Amazing. Now you may say, Tex, you should have sat down with her and gave her the Romans Road and all those things. But I promised her, I'm not going to try to push her into, I would have liked to have done those things, but I didn't say a word to her. But the Holy Spirit really drew Sandra, and she's been a marvelous Christian. A great, if I have someone that needs counseling or needs help, in fact, many times I come to Sandra for advice, one and I both. So we appreciate her so much in this ministry. But today she's the broadcaster. She's the engineer has all these little knobs and things, okay? She's going to help us get through the day. Usually Jerry does that, but he's busy doing another project. What would you call us?
Tag team.
Tag team. Yeah, that's a tag team. Like World Wrestling Federation around here. Wrestling with these problems. Or like firemen putting fires out. But it's great fun. I so much enjoy. And today is especially going to be so lovely because today, friends, you and I together are going to jump down the hole. It's down the rabbit's hole. We're going to go deep, deep. Like Alice in Wonderland? Poor little Alice, she jumped down. There was the big rabbit and the strange red queen she found. The most odd and bizarre things. The further she got down the rabbit's hole, down the tunnel. Quite. In East Texas, we had crawdads. A strange little form of shrimp. They lived on ground, though, and they built these crawdad little houses or huts out of mud. So you could see where the crawdad was. But I'd knock off the mud superstructure, and I'd take a stick, and make it come out. He'd come out trying to fight you, And some kids would actually grab hold of them, break their backs, and eat the meat right there without even washing it. Ooh. Yeah, I saw a lot of kids do that. I'd never do that. But anyway, they say crawfish are delicious, and a lot of people put in shrimp gumbo and all that stuff. We had a lot of Cajun French people down there, crazy Cajuns. Love those people, though. Went to school with a lot of them. I bet one-third of my school were French. and they were Catholic. It was quite an interesting experience. Port Neches Groves High School. Graduate of, well, I'm not going to tell that. Then they'll know how old I am. Well, I will. 1962. Okay. Now let's move on to some things here deep down inside the hole. Down the rabbit's hole with Alice in Wonderland and the whole group. And what do we find here? Well, there's a new movie out. It's all about the other concentration camps. Now, a lot of the world doesn't even know there were other concentration camps. They've heard of the Holocaust and the Nazis. I mean, movie after movie, Schindler's List and all this kind of stuff. But apparently, there's another movie out, and it's Hollywood's first attempt ever to portray the Soviet gulag. Now, I told you there'd never be a movie out, but there is one. But evidently, they didn't push it. It's got a very small budget. And listen to this. Ann Applebaum, who wrote for the National Post. And by the way, Ann is not a bad person. She's Jewish. But she actually wrote one of the few books, other than Alexander Solzhenitsyn, she wrote one of the few books about the Soviet gulags. And she's Jewish. Now, I will admit, she tried to sort of, it's not as bad as Solzhenitsyn and others said. Yes, a lot of people died there, but not as many as the Jewish Holocaust. Isn't that amazing? This woman, Ann Applebaum, now she mentions, of course, that if you count in the starvation of people, 16 million or whatever it was, some say 6 million, some say 16, of the Ukrainians and the others, the Cossacks, Kulaks, that the communists, the Jewish communists killed. They starved all of them to death, you know. If you count all of them, and just the ones they went out and shot. But in terms of the concentration camps, she said there weren't as many people there as were in the German. I guess it's one of those Jewish things. They're prideful. We had more people in concentration camps than the Russians had. Of course, it wasn't the Russians, Ann Applebaum. It was the Jews. Lenin, Trotsky, and so forth. And Stalin actually worked for the Jews. His deputy, who watched everything he did, was Kaganovich, Lazar Kaganovich. And to make sure Stalin did it right, Stalin was a Gentile, to make sure he did it right, they married him up with Rosa Kaganovich, Lazar's sister, to watch over him at home. So he couldn't do any, you know, talking with friends and saying bad things about the Jews. His own wife! Stalin got so mad at her because he knew she was a spy, spying on him, his wife Rosa, that he got so mad one time he stripped all her clothes off and ran her outside the Kremlin and made her climb a tree and made her stay there all night. Now, can you imagine what would happen to me if I made Wanda, stripped her naked, ran her outside, made her run up a tree? And by the way, Russia, it was wintertime. It was snowing. It was freezing. It was about... It was below zero. And there was Rosa Kaganovich. She probably didn't make her brother very happy. But, hey, you know, Stalin strangled one of his wives to death. And his last two wives in, after he strangled the Gentile, after that they gave him only Jewish girls. He was afraid to strangle them because they're, you know, being Jew and get him in trouble. Okay, enough of Stalin. This is a unique and groundbreaking film, says Ann Applebaum. Good for her. It's called The Way Back. It's a true story. It stars Ed Harris, the actor, who plays an American who joins a group of Polish prisoners who escaped from a Soviet gulag. And it's actually a true story. And they made it all the way over, if I can remember, the Himalayas and everything, into India in the 1940s. It was an amazing thing. And the Polish consulate recorded their arrival. This film is true in every way that matters, says Ann Applebaum. Now, here's something interesting. This movie, The Way Back, the first ever portrayal by Hollywood of a Soviet gulag. I have to give them credit for that. It's based on a book called The Long Walk by Slawomir Rawitz, a gulag survivor himself. Many of the camp scenes are taken directly from Soviet archives and memoirs. You'll see starving men scrambling for garbage, tattooed criminals playing cards for the clothes of other prisoners, the narrow barracks, the logging camp where so many died, the vicious Siberian winter storms,
Wow.
You'll see an American there, too, an American prisoner. Now, he made the mistake of going to Russia looking for a job. He heard they were building the Moscow subway underground and had some skills. Thought he could get ahead by going to Moscow, or maybe he believed in communism and wanted to help him. Unfortunately, he fell victim to the Great Terror, the Red Terror of 1937. And being an American, just looking American, is enough to have you thrown by the Soviet Union and its Jewish commissars into the gulag. Now, by the way, I want to mention that Alexander Solzhenitsyn says at least or as many as 66 million perished in the Soviet Union during that era. Most of them murdered at the behest, tortured also by the Jews at the top. Solzhenitsyn, the greatest writer, I think, of the 20th century. He was called the conscience of the 20th century. He won the Nobel Peace Prize for his writings. And he spent over 10 years himself in a gulag. I think he knew a little bit about it. Now, Ann Applebaum says something interesting in the National Post. She says, you know what? I'm going to quote her. I have not found any reviews so far that hail this as Hollywood's first gulag movie. Perhaps because hardly anyone noticed that there weren't any before. Now, she's going to apologize a little bit for Hollywood. And now even the press, the New York Times and all the others, you know, People Magazine, all the others that have, if it was Schindler, another Schindler's List, it would be reviewed by 1,000 newspapers, publications. It'd be on Good Morning America, CBS, The View. They'd be bitching on Fox News, everything about this new Holocaust movie, about these mean old evil Nazis. But because it's about evil communist Jews, oh no. We can't mention that. I have not found any reviews, says Miss Applebaum, of this movie. But here's why, she says. Perhaps because hardly anyone noticed that there weren't any before. Nobody noticed? Did you know, my friends, there were more than 100 more prison camps, that is, concentration camps? Gulag, that's what the Gulag Archipelago was all about, the book that Solzhenitsyn wrote. Way more. I mean, listen. Hitler and his concentration camps were like a picnic compared to these monster holes. Monster holes. Yeah, I said the right words. 66 million perished. How many do they say Jews perished? 6 million? I think that's like over 11 times as many. And nobody noticed. There's never been a movie made about it. Oh, they noticed. But it wasn't the Jews. Well, a few Jews went. You see, even Jews fight each other. They hate each other. They hate Gentiles more, but you know they also hate each other. They just hate. She says Weir, the director of this movie, Peter Weir, W-E-I-R, told me that many in Hollywood were surprised by the story. They had never heard of Soviet concentration camps, only German ones. Now, friends, we're way down the rabbit hole now. Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book was one of the top best-selling books in the world. Over 20 million copies. These must be idiots in Hollywood. Well, you got that right, so maybe that is their excuse. They're such idiots, they didn't know that 66 million perished when Lenin and Trotsky, with the help of Stalin, set up a Soviet communist hell system. Someday I'd like to write a book about the Soviet gulags myself. I'd call it the Gulag 101, the theory and practice of hell. I've read all about those places. I've talked to witnesses, eyewitnesses that were there. Weir had difficulties getting the movie distributed, and he couldn't get anybody to finance it. He said he had problems explaining the final scene to his financial backers. But think about that. Many in Hollywood were surprised. Really? The Soviet communists had concentration camps? I only thought Hitler put the Jews there. Yeah, they probably don't know how many hundreds of thousands of Christians died at Nazi camps either. But Christians were the main group imprisoned in these Soviet gulags. Jews don't want to know about that. They're willingly ignorant, the Bible says in the letter from Peter. She says this is a must-see movie about people who actually escaped from the gulag. And these were the only ones. There was a rumor that one of the person had escaped from the gulag. But many said he tried to swim across the Bering Sea, part of it, and surely died in the high sea waters. These are the only people. You see, they would be so isolated, so far off out in the wilderness, that if you were to escape, they knew you would die. It's like swampland out there, except it's freezing cold. They've got huge polar bears there. They've got everything there. You don't want to escape from the Soviet gulag. And friends, I believe they've still got those gulags. They've still got some Americans from the Vietnam War as prisoners there, working in those gulags, delivered to them by North Vietnam. I am convinced of it. That's one of the great secrets, dirty secrets, of the Vietnam War. Okay, we move from the other concentration camps to our good friends over in the Middle East like Mubarak and Gaddafi. You know, Gaddafi was the friend of the West. Sold all that oil. I understand he gave millions in bribes to the British, to the Italians, and to the Spanish. He was their pal. But he was a monster. People didn't like him. And now it looks like America may do, you know, may. Now, Mubarak, who was deposed over in Egypt, was also a big pal of the United States, isn't the CIA, as was Gaddafi. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. In my book, Codex Magica, you'll want to get a copy, because in it I have a very interesting picture of the Egyptian president and dictator, former general, Hosni Mubarak, sitting, having a little meeting with the chief rabbi of Israel. Think about that. Here he is, supposedly anti-Israel. He's a Muslim. Oh, sure. They're in Egypt, where over 90% of the people are Muslims. And Mubarak is meeting, and you'll see in this picture, with this Jewish rabbi. And now he's facing the camera looking, but the Jewish rabbi, his hand is in a very unusual, giving a sign, a Masonic Kabbalistic sign. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But when you see it, let me tell you what it means. In Kabbalist secret language. He is literally, and he's doing it, it's so apparent. Here the photographers are taking this picture, and here the Jewish rabbi is doing this sign with his hand, and he sticks it out. And let me tell you what it is. It's worse than the middle finger that people give in America here. Let me put it that way. Okay? That's what he's saying about Mubarak. See, it's distasteful for the Jewish rabbi to meet with him. Even though probably Mubarak was taking his marching orders from the rabbi. The Jews told the Egyptian president of 80 million people, mostly Arabs, next door to Israel, what to do. They controlled Egypt. And that's why we supported Mubarak. That's why Vice President Biden said, he's our good friend. He's not a dictator. Dick Cheney, former vice president, said, well, he's our ally, and he's a good man. Yeah, Dick Cheney, just like you're a good man. Good men like you and Mubarak sleep together, don't you? In the devil's bed, that is. Well, I got a picture in front of me, and it's from the New York Post, Saturday, February 12th, 2011. It's an old picture, but things were happier in Egypt for Mubarak. He's shown there with his family. His wife, Suzanne, his sons, Gamal and Alaa, and daughter-in-law, Heidi. It's interesting. She has an American name, Heidi. Anyway, there are the five of them having a nice formal portrait taken. And his right hand is inside his suit jacket. He is giving the sign, the hidden sign of Jabulon, or Yabulon, if you'd like to pronounce it like a Y. But it's J-A-H-B-U-L-O-N. Now, in my chapter on Jobulon. I have an entire chapter in Codex Magica. I explain exactly what this Masonic hand sign is. Napoleon did it. You know, as a little boy, I kept asking my folks, I said, in these paintings of Napoleon, why is he putting his hand inside his coat vest? Is it cold? I thought it was cold. He's putting it under his vest. Did you ever see those pictures of Napoleon? Well, that's the hand sign. I give it to you. I'll tell you about the ritual. I take all the evidence from the Masonic textbooks themselves. They're instruction guides. Codex Magica is basically a book of secret Illuminati handshakes, hand signs, symbols, and so forth. And I take it from their own textbooks. They can't deny it. These are these secret signs. And if you could see this picture, maybe I'll put this on my website. I don't know. There he is, given the Masonic hand sign, the hidden sign of the men of Jobulon. Who is Jobulon? It's the devil god. That's his name. That's the one the Masons worship. Jobulon. It's a composite god. It's a trinity. But not like a Christian holy trinity. Not like Father and Son and Holy Ghost. Believe me. And there's a specific Masonic ritual in which they have, well, let's just say that they perform the 666. And that's when they give the sign of Jobulon. But my book tells all about it. You'll have to get Codex Magica. We'll tell you how to get Codex Magica a little bit later on in the program. But again, isn't that funny that the Jewish rabbi giving him that sign? Boy, that was bad. Basically, the Jewish rabbi was saying, we control you. We own you. You no good, blank, blank, blank. And he was telling the whole world they control Mubarak. And I tell you that in the Codex Magica. I say this shows this, ABC. Isn't it interesting that now we know, now that Mubarak is out? But by the way, he's still over there. He's still living in his mansion, Sharm el-Sheikh, down by the sea. He's suffering. He and his sons and his $70 billion in Western banks. Oh, it's a rough life in retirement, isn't it? For a dictator over in Egypt who's been kissing up to the United States and Israel for so long. Who would have ever thought the largest Arab Muslim country in the world would be ruled by a former general who is a kiss-up to the Israeli Jews and the Americans? And, of course, Obama himself is a kiss-up, so why are we surprised that Mubarak would be? Things are strange all over the Middle East. While we're down here inside the rabbit's hole, there are some other things you should know. For example, the U.S. ambassador to Bahrain, they call it, on the TV networks. Now, in Bahrain, they're having riots and demonstrations. It's a little country, but full of oil, right next to, very important because it's full of oil, Saudi Arabia. Now, the sheikhs, you know, of Saudi Arabia, the king and so forth, they're all very, and the prince, they're all upset about these demonstrations going off in Bahrain, their next door neighbor. And as I understand it, they sent a bunch of arms, you know, tanks and so forth, to help the dictator of Bahrain hold down and kill a lot of people. With American approval, of course. We want to keep a dictatorship in every country we can in the Middle East. I mean, after all, that's what Israel has. Oh, wait. Israel is the only democracy. Now, let's see, a democracy. That's a nation where everybody has an equal vote. Everybody has equal opportunity. Everybody's the same in terms of the government's help and recognition. But I thought that Israel was a Jewish state. That means that Christians and Muslims and Buddhists and atheists, anybody else is discriminated against. And they are. For example, did you know that Christians cannot own land? Even if they were born in Israel, even if they're Israeli citizens, if you're a Christian, you cannot own land. It's a law. You cannot possess land. If you're a Palestinian who lives in Israel and you've lived there with your family all your life and your mother and dad's life and your grandparents' life, in other words, you're a multi-generational Palestinian living in Israel today, you cannot possess land. You cannot own one inch. They'll rent it to you. They'll lease it to you. They'll make money off of you, but you can't own it. It's a Jewish state. I want to repeat that. It's not a democracy. Folks, here in America, we even have laws. You cannot refuse to rent an apartment to a gay or to a Jew or to a Hindu or a Sikh or any one of a thousand weird, I suppose, a member of a witch from the Church of Wicca. If you don't rent her your apartment or your house is up for rent, she'll go down and file charges against you. He didn't like me because I'm a witch. I have strange ceremonies. I worship Satan. Well, what's wrong with that? How terrible are that Christian? And by the way, they'll punish the Christian. There are a lot of cities across the United States have anti-discrimination laws. You can't hire a person or refuse to hire a person because they're a witch or a Satanist or a Hindu. But in Israel, you don't have to hire anybody if they're not Jew. You don't have to do anything for anybody if they're not a Jew. Just recently, a man who looked like a Jew but was an Arab met a Jewish woman outside a little market on the main street of one of the cities. Well, she liked his looks. He liked her looks. And they were both perverts, I guess. I guess one pervert just sort of recognizes another pervert. You ever thought about that, folks? The devil's people just seem to recognize each other, don't they? Anyway, within minutes, they had already agreed to go up on the top of a building nearby where nobody was, take the elevator up to the 13 stories or so of this building, go up to the top of the building, have sex. It was in the middle of the day. She was a married woman. He was a married man. Within minutes of meeting each other in this romantic liaison, they went up and had sex together. Well, she liked the gentleman. She asked him his name. And he told her, "Here's my name." Okay. She didn't know. She just thought he was a Jew. He didn't care, I guess. She's just a woman. Just two legs. Okay. So, she goes home and looks him up on the internet. She wants to contact him again. Wants to find out some more about him. That's after their sex act. Now, this was just a couple of months ago in the Israeli newspapers. I read the story. Seems that she found out he's an Arab. How dare him have sex with me? I am a Jewish woman. He did not tell me he was an Arab. She went down and filed charges against him. An Arab had consensual sex with me, but he did not tell me he was an Arab. I feel so cheated. I feel so dirty now. If he had been a Jewish man, it would have been okay. But it turned out he was an Arab, and he didn't tell me beforehand. I am soiled. Guess what? They indicted the man. They put him on trial. He admitted he had consensual sex with her. And they're sending him to prison. Now, what happened to the woman? Well, nothing. Except her reputation sort of shot. And now her husband knows about it. What a democracy. What a democracy. She is free, the pervert. He, the pervert, is going to prison for having sex with a Jewish woman. That is democracy in Israel. Give me a break. This is Tex Mars. We're going to go down the rabbit hole in a lot deeper when we come back. We're going to find out about a man named Cass Sunstein and what he's doing to the Patriot movement and to the internet. Stay with us. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Codex Magica. You know, when this book first came out, it was number one in its category. Number one bestseller at Amazon.com. I can understand why. Codex Magica, 620 pages. Huge encyclopedic book. In fact, that's what we call it. The Encyclopedia of Secret Illuminati Handshakes, Hand Signs, Symbols, an amazing book. Never been tackled before. Well, I know why. It took me about 20 years to research it, investigate, and put it together. So many people helped me, though. I mean, I had widows who sent me their dead husbands, their late husbands' secret Masonic books and guides and encyclopedias. I mean, I have every encyclopedia known to the Masons here in my office. You know, Mackey's and Pike's and all the rest of them here in the office. I have Duncan's encyclopedia. And, of course, I have Captain Morgan's little book on the first three rituals of Freemasonry. You may not know who Captain Morgan was, but he was very famous back in the early 1800s. In fact, the poor guy was assassinated, and his throat was cut from ear to ear in the assassination by his fellow Masons. You see, he renounced Freemasonry. He realized how satanic it was, and Captain Morgan wrote a little book about it. He finally got a printer to print it. Everybody was afraid to print it. Captain Morgan and his printer. Well, the Masons got so angry at him, they came and burned down the printer's building. Then they kidnapped Captain Morgan. Took him, I believe it was to Lake Michigan, one of those lakes, you know, the Great Lakes up in the Midwest. Took him out on a boat, cut him his throat from ear to ear and threw him overboard. Told him that's the penalty for violating an oath of secrecy in the Masonic attorney. Caused a national sensation. It caused John Quincy Adams, the sixth president of the United States, to say that Masonry is a Luciferian institution. Lucifer owns Freemasonry, said John Quincy Adams, the most brilliant of all of America's presidents. He spoke six or seven languages. Astonishing, gentlemen. We don't have like that anymore, unfortunately. We have people that we don't even know where they were born. So we have president now. Well, actually, I think we do know where he was born. We know he was not born in Hawaii. Well, in any case, back to Codex Magica, my book. I want you to have a copy. It's $35. Remember now, 624 pages. It's about the size of, I don't know, four regular books. And by the way, I do warn you, I guess a warning on the cover. Don't expect to take this book in your back pocket, you know, out on the beach, you know, pulling out of your back pocket, unless you have a very big back pocket, unless you outweigh me about 600 pounds, because it's a big encyclopedic book. And it's got 1,000 pictures and illustrations. And by the way, Sandra formatted the thing. I wrote it, I researched it, and she put it all together. Sandra right here in the studio, she's our graphics expert. So when you get the book, if you see something wrong with it, blame Sandra. No, don't do that. She's sweet as can be. Don't blame Sandra. Blame Tex. But I'll tell you, actually, you'll probably send her congrats. Beautiful book. Beautiful cover and so forth. I gave her the illustration, said, what can you do with this? She said, well, I'll show you, Tex. And she did. No, she didn't say it like that. She said, well, let's see. And she's great. You're going to love the cover. Sandra, I love the cover, what you've got so far of the next book. And that one, I don't think I had anything to do with it. I'm going to have to give you all the credit. I'm not going to tell them about it, but they'll love the cover. It's called Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Man, the cover is just striking. Woo! I'm not going to tell you about it. You'll have to order the book. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. And it's going to be another big book. I guess I'm off on a tangent now, see. I'm trying to advertise Codex Magica, Sandra, and I'm already off on I'm always looking ahead. I'm looking ahead to Jesus even coming. I mean, I like to look ahead that far. It may not be that far, though. In any case, back to Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. If folks want to order that, we'll let them. Now, we'll probably ship it the latter part of May is the way it's looking now. No later than June 1. Pray for us on that because we're working very hard. Mainly, you know, me. I'm trying to work through all my illnesses. I mean, my sciatica nerve today, and it was gout. It's been gout. I've had gout for 7 weeks. Thanks to many of your suggestions, maybe it's not as severe as it would have been. But boy, it's been a killer. It's been up and down my legs and my joints, my knee, my toes. I don't know where all it's been. I think it's settled in my back and disturbed my sciatic nerve. Man, it's been, well, should I say it? It really has been hell. But I've had Jesus with me. I've had Wanda helping me. Boy, she's a saint. What my wife Wanda is a saint. And everybody at the office, what a marvelous staff I have. I mean, you know, they take care of so much while I'm gone. And keep me advised by phone and send me things. We send things back and forth on the computer, you know. We scan them and send them and all that. And they're just doing a wonderful job. And I've got such a great, great staff here. But anyway, Sandra's got this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Store. She did the cover. I'll give her credit for that. And she's going to format it, what I give to her. And I got about 70% of it finished, maybe 80%. Now, I want to tell you about the book. It's about everything a truth teller should know about Israel, the Jews, and their religion, Judaism, about the Rothschild conspiracy, about what's going to happen to America and the whole world. It's the most amazing book. There's stuff in there that has never been in print before. I'm not even going to tell you about some of the stuff. We're going to ship the book. Now, our official ship date is May 15th, but it'll probably be delayed a week or so. If you order the book now for $25, it's big format. Again, a big, big book. If you order this book, 432 pages, I believe it's going to be. If you order this book now, you'll be one of the first to ever get it. $25, $5 shipping and handling for Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Store. We put your name on a list. We go ahead and make up the envelope and everything. We've got the mailing label already made up. And, man, when the books come in off the truck, we take them out, open the boxes, and bingo, yours goes. Right then and there. Unless it's late at night when the truck comes in, and then we have to wait till the next morning. You'll just have to wait one more day. Then it's up to the post office. They may take long, but we don't. We're going to get it out within one day of receiving the book. You'll be one of the first in the whole country. Nobody is going to... You know, well, I will have it one. We will have it. I'll read it, my own book, one day before you do. Make sure it's accurate. Did they mess it up? Every once in a while, the printers do that. Boy, that'd be a disaster. But actually, we've got good printers. God has given us so many, and we got a good audience. We got people who are truth tellers. They want to know. And by the way, we'll tell you everything you want to know about the six-pointed star. Is it really a Satan? Is it the Star of David? We'll tell you all about that. But that's just a little piece of it. We're going to tell you, I mean, everything from Richard Nixon to Spiro T. Agnew to Harry Truman to was George Patton murdered? Was Secretary of Defense Forrestal murdered by the Israeli Mossad? Everything you'd want, it's incredible. The banking collapse, was that really the Rothschilds behind it? Amazing stuff. Things that I have been digging, and I mean, through my pain, I'm going to tell you. One that can tell me sometimes I've had to literally scream in agony with the pain in my nerves so bad. But nevertheless, within 5 minutes, I was back at my desk working. And I had pure joy in doing that, serving the Lord. She says, you know, Tex, I think that is real pain management. You're working on that book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It took my mind off all my illnesses. You know, I was in severe pain. I can't even sleep at night. I put a pillow between my legs, and I can't turn certain ways, or I just scream out. It's so terrible. I'm stooped around here like a 99-year-old man. Actually, a lot of 99-year-old men look better than I do with this sickness, being so stooped. But nevertheless, I thank God for it. You know what? This illness makes me be more sympathetic to other people. Boy, let me tell you something. I am more sympathetic to other people. I mean, maybe God has just given me a gift of mercy because of this. You know, God has his ways. So I should thank him. You know, it's good to thank God for everything. It's not that all things are good, but thank God for everything. Because doesn't it say, Sandra, all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. Because greater is he that is in you, that's Christ Jesus, than he that is in the world. I'm an absolute believer in that. And when I came to work today, I said, we got it made. We have got it made. We know our future. We know the truth. We know the Alpha and the Omega. The rest of the world doesn't know. They think they're so smart. They're just a bunch of smarmy jerks. They don't know. But the wise, the Bible says, the wise in Christ. That's what that means. He gives you the wisdom. You will know what's happening in the last days. I think that's why our ministry is here. So you'll know. I give you these books so you'll know. That's what God has commissioned me to do. Go and tell the truth. Some people say, can I believe Tex Morris? You can. Now, I want to emphasize, I'm not always right. I can't remember when I've been wrong, but but anyway, maybe a few times. All right. Again, Codex Magica, amazing book. Number one at Amazon.com, or it was for a while. But we want you to have it now from us. And every cent you send for this book, and it is $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. $35. Oh, I'm sorry. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, $25. Is regular $29.95. It'll be in bookstores. We're going to give people a break of $5. But then, of course, they have to have it shipped. That's $5. Total of $30 for Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. We'll keep track of your name. And I promise you, Wanda will hit me over the head with a big club if I don't send you your book immediately after we get it. You'll be one of the first in the world to get Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star for a total of $30 postpaid. Or order the book now, Codex Magica. And we're going to have to go for another printing of that, I understand. It's been selling so well. Codex Magica, the most amazing book I think ever published. Well, the Bible, of course. I don't consider that a book. That's just supernatural. But man's book, that's the way to put it. My book is probably the most amazing book ever published. Codex Magica. $35 and worth every penny because, well, many factors. And add $5 shipping and handling for that book. How to get our books and products? Folks, just call us toll free. 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Of course, you go online, powerofprophecy.com, and maybe you're listening to this radio program, and you can just turn right around and order the book right there online at powerofprophecy.com. And you can order all our stuff, our videos. You can order our other new book, Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, the one that the Jews love so much they're going to give me an award for even publishing it and writing a new foreword for it. Sure they are. They're going to cut off my neck if they get hold of me. Okay. In any case, you'll find Protocols of Zion there as well, $20 plus $5 shipping and handling. All right, let's return to our regular program now. By the way, our address for you to order the book is Power of Prophecy or Texmars. You spell that with two R's. I don't know how they made that mistake, but I'm stuck with it. At 1708 Patterson Road, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. 78733 in the United States of America, the best country in the world. Oh, there's only one place better, heavenly Jerusalem. Okay, now let's go right on with it. We've just got to move fast. Cass Sunstein, Sunstein. Now, before I get to Mr. Cass Sunstein, who is one of those czars, he's head of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. Sort of a mysterious office. Wasn't approved by Congress now. The Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, he is the czar of that office. See, Obama has all these czars. They're all unconstitutional posts, but they're there anyway. Now, before I talk about Mr. Sunstein, I was talking before about Bahrain. Remember? The little country that's having riots and demonstrations right next door to Saudi Arabia. Guess who the U.S. ambassador to Bahrain is? It's J. Adam Areli, E-R-E-L-I. He is an Israeli national. We appoint Jewish Israeli ambassadors as American ambassadors. See, he's one of these dual citizens, like Rahm Emanuel is. They're Israel firsters, but they're citizens both of the United States and Israel. And here's this guy. We're stupid enough. Well, maybe we're smart if we want to promote Israel and the Jews. We make ambassadors even to these foreign countries out of Israeli nationals. Why should they even be ambassadors at all? Why should they work in our own foreign service? Why should they have anything to do with the American government? Let them go back to Israel or go to Israel and live. How can you be a dual citizen? Thomas Jefferson As Gerald Ford once said, if he were alive today, he'd be spinning in his grave. Hope people caught that. I always loved Gerald Ford. President Gerald Ford, you know, his run for office is what he said. He said, if Thomas Jefferson saw that, why he was alive today and saw that he'd be spinning in his grave. You know, Gerald Ford was all right, wasn't he? He was a little nuts, but you know what LBJ said about Gerald Ford? See, Gerald Ford was Republican. Of course, LBJ was Democrat. He said, well, the only thing wrong with Gerald Ford is, you know, Congressman Ford at the time, the only thing wrong with Gerald Ford is he used to play football for the University of Michigan, and he forgot to wear his helmet. I love that LBJ. I mean, he was evil. He was bad. But, you know, and, of course, Gerald Ford, you know, member of the Warren Commission, 33rd degree Mason, they were all pals. LBJ, you know, was a master Mason. But that was only third degree. Oh, well. In any case, J. Adam Ereli, E-R-E-L-I, an Israeli dual citizen, U.S. ambassador to Bahrain. Oh, my goodness. Well, Ambassador Ereli fled to Washington as the pro-democracy protests rocked Tunisia and Egypt. He had to get out of town, being a Jew, just in case Bahrain fell to the Muslims. Of course, he was a CIA asset, like so many others. Now let's get to Cass Sunstein, this Jewish czar, head of the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. He's a brilliant man, they say. In fact, they wrote an article here online. And by the way, I've seen articles about this man, Cass Sunstein, in Vanity Fair, U.S. News and World Report, Time Magazine, the Phoenix News Time. Oh, they all know about this man. Now, here's his job. His job is to destroy the conspiracy theory movement. That's right. There's a czar to destroy the Patriot movement, to destroy the 9/11 truth movement, to destroy the Obama birther movement, to destroy true Christianity movement. Cass Sunstein, they've actually given a man and made him a czar and given him billions of dollars. The entire American Patriot movement probably doesn't have $50 million to spend each year. All thousands and thousands and thousands of us together. But as I understand it, somebody has enlightened me and told me that we have, America has a $56 billion black budget that goes for intelligence operations. $56 billion. Friends, if we did not spend $56 billion every year for our national intelligence, do you realize that that is about 13 to 14% of what Americans pay for Social Security and Medicare? We could increase Social Security and Medicare rather than cutting it. We could increase it 13 to 14% per year forever if we only got rid of the intelligence trash that we have to put up with. Now, I don't mind having an intelligence agency. Certainly don't mind the FBI going after crime, needing intelligence and information, investigations. But let me show you, let me just read to you what this article, remember the U.S. News and World Report and all of them, what this particular article says. It says, what is the best way to destroy a conspiracy theory movement? Answer, suggest that some of the members might be government agents. Cass Sunstein, former Harvard professor, current member of the Obama administration, has even written a paper about it. He calls it cognitive infiltration. Cognitive, that's mind control infiltration of conspiracy theory groups, with the idea that government agents and their allies might enter chat rooms, online social networks, or even real space groups and attempt to undermine the percolating, in other words, the active conspiracy theories, by raising doubts about their factual premises. In other words, destroy the conspiracy theories from within. Now, how are they doing this? They're going to plant radio shows. You're going to hear these people that pretend to be patriots. And then they're going to say, now you don't listen to that person over there. You don't listen to Tex Mars. Or you don't listen to this one or that one. Listen to me. I'm the true independent American patriot. But in fact, they'll be paid by the government because the government has $56 billion for this junk. Do you understand how many fake websites they can put on that pretend to be patriot? Do you understand how, I'm probably helping them right now by telling you this. Because the more I tell you about Cass Sunstein's plans and his work, the more you'll realize, then you'll get scared and say, no, Chicken Little, everybody might be an agent, a government agent. They've infiltrated us. I'm already seeing that. Everybody is stabbing everybody in the back saying, you're the secret Jew. You're the secret, Obama supporter. You're paid by the FBI. Oh, you're an infiltrator. You're an agent provocateur paid by the CIA. We know who you are. I can't tell you, I've probably seen 100 websites that say Tex Mars was an intelligence agent in the Air Force. He's admitted it. I was never in intelligence in the Air Force. I never said I was. But that's the way things get started. My late friend William Cooper was in intelligence, but not Tex Mars. I do things the old-fashioned way. I investigate. I wasn't just given my stuff. Although I was in some interesting things, but I won't talk about those. Mostly in computer networks and things. Okay. The fact is the government has this man, Cass Sunstein, and he is going to put out false information. And plus he's going to call people like Tex Mars nuts, wackos, cuckoo. Well, that's not new. But now we're going to have thousands of them out there. And you go to a chat room and you think you're talking about John Doe, who lives in Toledo, Ohio. No, what you're doing is talking to John Smith, CIA agent, who works at Langley Air Force Base, Virginia. Or in Stafford, Virginia, where the FBI Academy is. Or maybe in Washington, D.C. or something. He might even be working in Israel. This intelligence is outsourced. And, of course, Mr. Sunstein is going to pay hackers to hack into sites like mine to try to kill it. And Obama wants a switch to be able to turn off all at once all of the websites that are not approved by Mr. Sunstein. Believe me, every website that is truly a patriotic website that has exposed 9/11 or the Obama birth certificate hoax, anyone that is exposing things like we do, and certainly Zionism, if you're against Israel, they will finger you and put you on a list. And I'm targeted for extinction. I mean, personally, bodily, and this website and all my books. You know, just like I was telling them, Sandra, a few weeks back, this guy said he did a review, a book review of my book, New Age Cults, the new version, the new edition. The only problem was we hadn't shipped it out yet. He could not have read it. A guy named Harwood. And then this guy, Harwood, who claims to have reviewed my book, he put down the publisher as Riverside Publishing. Well, we're not Riverside. We're Rivercrest Publishing. And then he said he found out about the book by going on my website, JesusIsSavior.com. Well, our website is not JesusSavior.com, so he couldn't have found out the book. I wonder if the guy, this Harwood dude, works for Cass Sunstein. I've noticed that on Amazon.com where my books are. The minute we have a new book come out, Sandra, before it's even been sold, there are people reviewing it. And they're saying, one star only. This is a terrible book. Full of trash. It's no good. It's not academic. It's so hokey. This man, Morris, doesn't know anything about his subject. They haven't even read the book. They've got my name on a list. And the minute it's announced to come out, they claim to have done a review. They claim to have ordered it. Read it, all 624 pages of Codex Magica, and found it to be the most atrocious piece of garbage they've ever read. And they write reviews, and thousands of other people are going to read this review and think the guy really did review it. This is how they carry on their cognitive infiltration, to steal the minds of people. And I can't tell you how many other people on chat pages I've read, they say, Well, I used to really like Tex Mars, but after I found out that he's a Jesuit priest in hiding. Jesuit priest in hiding? Are you kidding me? These kind of people are cognitive infiltrators. And they're paid by the government. And their boss, ultimately, they probably don't even know him. He's up 50 rungs up the ladder. Is this brilliant Harvard graduate and professor, head of some strange new agency called the Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs. And by the way, if you think Facebook and MySpace and all those other social networks just came up out of nowhere, if you believe that new movie that just came out that tells you about that young man named Zuckerberg, Mark Zuckerberg, who made Facebook into a huge success and now is a billionaire many times over. He and his college friends or whatever, you know, just came up with this idea. Oh, shut up. The CIA, the FBI fund all these social networks projects, and then they use them. Folks, even Google, and every one of them run by Jews. What is Zuckerberg but Jews? A Jew named Gonim, G-H-O-N-I-M, at Google, the largest, you know, search engine in the world on computers, one of their top guys, Gonim, a Jew, as soon as the revolution in Egypt broke out a few months ago, suddenly Gonim flew to Egypt and showed up giving a big speech to the people in the streets there. Turns out that Google and Facebook and all the rest of these social network outlets that I believe are run by Cass Sunstein and the CIA, convinced of it, they're the ones arousing all the people. Go out in the streets, do this, do that. They were coordinating the whole revolution from Google and from Facebook and from MySpace. And a Google executive, a Jew named Gonim, shows up giving a speech. And now they're saying they might make him the new president of Egypt. A CIA agent, no doubt. This is how they do things. Watch for who replaces Gaddafi. He'll probably be a Jew too. How can a 90% Muslim country accept a Jew from Google, a Jewish-owned, supposedly? Friends, this is the strategic research initiative. That's what they call it. DARPA had all these plans. They claim that DARPA even invented, that's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. They invented the internet. Al Gore didn't do it. He may have voted on the bill. Meanwhile, there's a plan, and I wish I had time to talk to you about it. How the elite are planning to turn cities into high-tech slave grids. High-tech slave grids. They're going to turn cities into open concentration camps. But you can't get out of town. There's nobody going to tell you to get out of Dodge by sunset. They're going to lock you up in Dodge. These people are brilliant. Lock you up inside the city. And then look for you. Then track you down. And it won't be hard. They'll have chips in your car, on your TV, on your phone, in your watch. Maybe in your body. Are we not down the rabbit hole? This is volume 3 of Down the Rabbit Hole with Tex Mars. Been great to be with you. I love exposing these things, uplifting the truth. If you're a truth teller too, I'd like to hear from you. Love to hear your comments. Write to us, would you? Email us. Go to powerprophecy.com and look for the contact information. Of course, our address for the book Codex Magica is 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas. Our phone number, 1-800-234-9673. Until next time, may God bless you. Tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.